Raise one hand, let's sing together. Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, with the purity in our hearts, given to us by your Spirit, we receive revelation of your Son in this service from the teaching of your word. There is no error or confusion or distraction in his atmosphere. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, is glorified as we are edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. I found out I have a shorter time speaking in the second service. So I'm going to correct that very soon. Matthew 28. We're looking at the church in service. Hallelujah. The church in service. And one important truth we need to learn, and I believe a lot of believers, is the meaning of a church. And why do you attend? Why do you go to a church? And that's why we call it the church, or church in service, walking in the glory of God in the local assembly. Matthew's Gospel 28. Particularly these days when it's so easy to pick information online, and you think that because you are getting some information from some websites, Living Word Media, then it means that you are growing or you are doing God's will. No, that's a wrong way of thinking. So I look at the church in service. Matthew 28, come on, 18. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, which is the word power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, which means to make disciples, in the name, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then it says, teaching them to observe what all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now the word to make disciples there shows you the mandate. There's a mandate. A church must know its mandate. A people must know its mandate. I gave this illustration in the first service earlier. That imagine if I use a lawyer. Okay, maybe I can use a lawyer again. So you hired a guy in your law firm. And when you hired him to handle your company cases. Company and company related matters. So he shows up on Monday. And at the first day of work, he cleans the whole office. You will appreciate it. Wow, you mean you can clean the whole place? The guy cleans the whole place. Lovely. Then you appreciate it. Wow, with your degrees, you clean the office. Yeah, I know. Then the second day, a Tuesday, he comes and he goes to the gardens. He tends the entire garden. Cuts the weeds. Wow. You can do this too. What a lovely man you are. Wow. Then the third day he comes. He distributes biggie. Right food now. To everybody. And then I give them food and snacks. I say, wow, what a generous guy you are. Then on the Thursday, there's a meeting in the office and we want to prepare for or handle a client's brief. I was here with this client and he has a problem with his partners overseas. Please, because it's a company related matter, what do you have to say? Then he says, oh God, you have to help me here. I don't get it. You have been busy doing everything you were not employed for. And it got to the real issues, and you're looking like Lucozy. Does Lucozy look? I don't think so. He said, that's all you have to offer. Sometimes churches, including ours, we're not careful, can get engrossed in what is not primary to it. There's a mandate. So there's a mandate. I know here, there's a mandate. The mandate says to go. The church is always going. So I don't like that church. It's always, they're always doing preaching. It's always about preaching and prayer, doing evangelism. Can't we do something else? Ask them like what? Like what? Tell us now. That's a primary job. You know, a fellow was saying, you know, I said my great grandfather's memorial. Can you imagine? We had it very important in our family. He said the church members did not come. So I said, you know what, come. You know, we all have great grandfathers. And we always memorialize them too. Now imagine if we decide to attend everybody's memorial services. And then every Saturday. Whose is this week? The Ogodipes and the Ondonikas. Now you can do that when you are just 5 and 10. Okay? So every week we'll be attending people's occasions. Praise the Lord. How many can we attend? To just be your brother and sister in crisis. No, we cannot busy ourselves on that. Hallelujah. We focus on the mandate. Sometimes we focus on the mandate. That doesn't, we do attend those things, but that's not why we are here. We are here for a mandate. A mandate. And that mandate is why we're doing what we're doing. It says, go. It's a go mandate. Go. And make disciples. Multitude of all nations. Of all nations, which is the word to train people to follow Christ. To train people to follow Christ. The word multitude is cut out from the word mantano. Multitude is spelled M-A-T-H-E-T-U-O. From the call out from the word mantano. M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O. Mantano means to learn by observation and to learn by teaching. To learn by observation and learn by teaching. So you go into the world and teach people or make them learn. Verse 20. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always in the end of the world. So if you are a Christ follower, listen now, if you are an obedient Christ follower, this is your life's purpose. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I said this during the week. We do not abandon this work to face other things. So I said, well, for now, I need to take time off prayer. I need to take time off evangelism. I need to take time off teaching people. I want to face my life. What's your life? I want to face my life. What's your life? That means you were able to successfully separate yourself from what Jesus asked us to do. Sometimes we think it's your pastor that is making you do that. And you know, the reason why we think so is because other people are giving you options. Options. Some folks are giving you options. You can be in some churches, 1 whole year, 5 whole years, and not win a soul, not get anybody born again, and nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody thinks it's important. You may not even have a prayer life. But not here. Hallelujah. I said not here. Praise the Lord. Not here. So you see, he says that's the mandate. That's the mandate on the church. To make disciples of every nation. That's the mandate of the church. Praise the Lord. Mark's Gospel 16. To teach people, to train them, to make them follow Christ through us by teaching an example. Hallelujah. Mark 16, 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. That's the word devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Verse 18. And if you do that, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. And they, the sick, shall recover. Verse 19. So that after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was well in heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord walking with them in staff size and confirming the word with signs following. So we have a mandate. So we have a mandate. See, I've got a mandate to preach. What there is kerusso in the Greek. It means to make it known, to make it public. So which means that Christianity is not a private affair. Hallelujah. It's not a private affair, it's a public affair. You have a public ministry. Amen. Say, I have a public ministry. Praise the Lord. A public ministry. To preach the gospel. Keruso. Keruso and the word huangelion, gospel and preach. Preach the gospel. Huangelizo, keruso, two words are used for that. It simply means to speak like a town crier. Make sure everybody hears it. Now, everybody may not believe it, right? But do your best for everybody to what? Hear it. That's the mandate. In John 20, 23, aside from 21. Ask my Father, he came and spake them peace unto you. Ask my Father, John 20, 21, has sent me, even so send I you. 22, when he has said this, he breathed on them, and said them, Salisai's there, said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. We have a duty. I'm a receiver of the Holy Ghost, John 20, 22. We are now acting on God's behalf. God is now walking in our stead because he's the one who remits sins. But by his spirit, we now have sins remitted. By preaching, by teaching, we have sins remitted. Now go to Luke 24. Don't forget we're looking at the church in service. The church in service. Luke 24. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Having begun at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now let's make a background to this. So we said that Jesus never taught from Paul's letters. Let me take that again. Jesus never taught from Paul's letters. Jesus never taught from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus taught from Genesis to Malachi. Jesus' Bible was Genesis to Malachi. Which means, I find the meanings of his words. Listen now. I find them in Genesis to Malachi. Pay attention to that. Same as Paul. Paul did not teach from his epistles. His epistles were his teachings, yeah, but he taught from what we call the Old Testament. Paul taught from Genesis to Malachi. I showed you that last week. Acts 17:11. Those who were Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with readiness of mind. What word did they receive? And search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They were not checking Paul's letters. They were checking the scriptures. Acts 17:2 and 3, where Paul alleged, hoping that Jesus is the Christ, from the scriptures. So when you hear the scriptures, they are not referring to their letters. They are referring to Genesis to Malachi. 2 Timothy 3:15, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture 16 is given by inspiration of God. Pay attention. It's profitable for doctrine. Major word there. Didaskalia in the Greek. To teach, to instruct, to educate. How? For reproof, to convince. 2 Timothy 3:16. For correction. The word reproof there, lecto, it means to persuade someone. Then it says, for correction, epanathosis in the Greek, to straighten something out. Then it says, for instruction in righteousness, the word paideia, P-A-I-D-I-E-A, that the man of God may be perfect, prepared or perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So the scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, is profitable to convince, pay attention, profitable to correct, and profitable to make you grow up. So spiritual food, listen now, spiritual growth, yeah, information to walk with God is found in Genesis to Malachi. I'll repeat certain things again. You need the Old Testament to read the New Testament. You need the New Testament to read the Old Testament. That's why we said in Luke 24:44, Jesus, alright, said, these are the words which I said to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened ear their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Sunyemi means to read the scriptures together, to reason it together. Listen now, the epistles are not meant to be read alone. What did I say? I want everybody to say it together. The epistles are not meant to be read alone. The epistles are meant to be read with the Old Testament books and the Synoptic Gospels. You need to read everything. We have a more expansive insight into God's will having the Old Testament and the New Testament books. Now in the first service, I said this. I said the Old Testament, listen carefully now, is what you can call God's plan book, God's purpose book, the project book, where the project is set, where the design is, the designs, what he intends to do. Listen now, what he intends to do, what he projects to do, you find in the Old Testament. And the commencement of it, you find from the four Gospels through the epistles. Listen carefully again. What he intends to do, how he intends to do it, the setup of it, the project plan, is the Old Testament. Now listen carefully. How would I know what he has inaugurated? I go back to the plan, right? I go read the plan. I go back and read the plan. I go back and see what he set out to do. So, the epistles, listen now, are a product of that plan. They are written as a part of a plan. And again, let me just mention something I've said over and over again. No one wrote with you in mind. The only person who had you in mind is God. Which means that they use culture, language that is foreign to you. Now I mentioned this in the first service. I said, what is the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament book? I said, there are two, not only two, but there are two fundamental differences. The first one is language. What did I call it? Language. And language, you mean culture. Okay? God never, alright, changes anyone's language. Now, the moment he doesn't do that, that means he uses their culture. God never changed Israel's culture. In fact, if we were in the first service, I started explaining the word anointed. I'm going to make mention of it now. God didn't change it. No. He didn't do that. He used their language. What is God's language? The language of any writer that he uses. There's nothing peculiar about Hebrew and Greek. It's just that the Hebrew language is the language of the early writers of scripture. And the moment you use language, you have to assume the culture in communication, not necessarily in conclusion. So you have God using the language of the writers. So the reason why we seem to think they're different is because the setting of the epistles is majorly Greco-Roman and a more modern world. The setting of the Old Testament is basically ancient Near Eastern, the Eastern culture, what you call the Middle East. You know, the ancient part. The setting of it is a more ancient culture. And it's quite primitive as well. So that's the first challenge. So the New Testament and the Old Testament are not contradictory. They only are communicated in different languages. Secondly, I mentioned this. The difference is the timing. Just like I said, the Old Testament is a plan book. The New Testament is the beginning of the execution of that plan. So that's the difference. The content are the same. What they preach will be the same. But the mode of communication will evolve. One. Two. The timing of the things differ. One is a project plan. The other is the execution of the project plan. And that is a very intelligent way of viewing the books. So we can look at one phrase, and I believe you should pay good attention to that. In Luke 24:26, Jesus said, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory?" And we said, the word Christ is not a proper name. The word Christ is a description, earlier in the service. That's the first service. We went into the history of the word Christ. And we said the word Christ, two words. In the Greek, it's just one word, Christos. C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S. Christos. My middle name is Christian. Okay? Christian simply means like Christ. Okay? That's a baptism, my name. I'll give you the story of how I got the name. I was being baptized at Eleyele. So usually during baptism, they say, what is your baptism, my name? Now because my eyes were sunk in the water, I just came out and said, Christian. That's why it's supernatural. That's how I adopted that. Okay, good. So it's not like I got it from the Holy Ghost. I got it from water. Now, that's what Christ, Christos. But it is not primarily a Greek word. It is firstly an Hebrew word. So we said there are two words. That's the first set. I'm just going over it. The word Meshach or Mashach, M-A-S-H-A-C-H, or that is the word to anoint. That's the verb, to anoint. Then there's the word Messiah, M-A-S-H-I-A-C-H, M-A-S-H-I-A-C-H, the anointed one. And we said in the first service that the word anointed one is not only Jesus. When you say Christ, the first thing on your mind should not be Jesus. I understand he's your Lord, he's mine too. But the first thing on your mind is not Jesus. Because Christ was what was used to describe God's chosen men, women, nations. Christ was even used, pay attention, for a tent, for animals, for sacrifices. Christ, you say, that's a Christ, that's Christ, sacrifice. That's Christ, building. That's Christ, people. Then we say, there are three major offices that Christ was used for. The priest, the prophet, the king. And we also came to the conclusion, Moses himself. So Jesus, I'm just summarizing the first service for you. So Jesus, according to Deuteronomy 18:15, pay attention, is an anointed, that's Christ, deliverer prophet. An anointed deliverer prophet. And we said, he is the embodiment of all the Christs of the Old Testament. He fulfills what they could not fulfill. Let me give you one typical example. You have Abraham. In thee, in your seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Pay attention. It wasn't Isaac. That means the promise was hanging. So whatever God gave as a promise, and there is the inadequacy, weakness, sins or transgression of the beneficiaries of the promise, God takes responsibility. So because of his promise, he becomes the seed of Abraham, the seed of the woman. He gave Moses a mandate. Take them from bondage to the land of promise. The land of promise is not a geographical spread. The land of promise is the whole world. Moses failed. Joshua also couldn't do it. So Jesus takes on that responsibility. We said that in the first service. So he becomes Christ in its fullness. That's why it's called the Christ. In its fullness. So we said earlier that therefore all their sufferings became his sufferings. All their responsibilities became his responsibilities. All their shame became his shame. Are you listening? Very good. So Jesus therefore, now this is the first service, for you to understand what I'm saying, you have to go back to the first service. Jesus becomes the new Moses. The new Joshua. He was named Joshua. That's his name, Joshua. Deliberately, because he will save his people from their sins. He was named Joshua. Now, what is Joshua? Joshua is a fellow who is meant to fulfill Moses' task. Which means Moses himself, as we know from scripture, was a deliverer and a savior of a sort. Jesus now, in the new covenant, which I explained in the first service, is the new Moses. The new Isaac. The new David. The new Joshua. That's what he is. He's a new one. So we said in the first service, when he said in Luke 9:31, when he had this encounter with Moses and Elijah, Luke 9:31 says, they spoke about his exodus. So we said, it means, just like Moses, Jesus has to lead people out of bondage. He will lead people out of bondage. He will take them out of bondage. And Moses was, listen carefully, a pastor. Moses was a shepherd of God's people. He was their leader. He was their judge. He was their ruler. He was also their savior. Anointed one. He was a servant of God over the house. So Jesus, listen now, is the new Moses. And I said in the first service, we will read the meaning of his work by going back to look at the stories of the Christ before him. Who were, we can call them types and shadows or patterns or predecessors of his office. So a critical element, don't forget now, is that Moses led out a congregation from Egypt. So Jesus also in his exodus, he will go to Egypt, death. He will go to Egypt, the grave. He will go to Egypt, the cross. Then he will lead us, them, we, they, out in an exodus. So he is a new Moses. Look at Acts 7. Now just review or recap in the first service. Acts 7. Are you a church? Pay attention now. Verse 35. This Moses, I'll start from 34. When he appeared to Moses, this is what God told him. I've seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt. I've heard their groanings. And I'm come down to what? Come on, Acts 7:34 to what? Come on now. To what? That's Exodus 3 verse 7. And now I will send you into Egypt. Now don't forget, he was born in Egypt. He came out of Egypt. Then he went back to Egypt to go out of Egypt. Do you get it now? So that's his going out, started by his going in. And when he came out, it was called the Exodus. Look at verse 35. This Moses whom they refused, saying, who had made thee a ruler and a judge. The same did God send to be what? And a savior. That's what it was. A savior by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had showed signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, the Red Sea, and the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet. Are you following? Shall, let's take verse 37 together. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Now pay attention. Like unto me. Who is he? Who is Moses? Go back to 35. A ruler and a deliverer. So which means, the Lord will raise a prophet who is a ruler. What else? A deliverer. Can we say a redeemer? Okay. Him would you hear. Now don't forget, when he said this, he knew he wasn't going to the promised land anymore. He had chosen Joshua. Listen carefully now. Yet, he says, no, it's not Joshua that you will hear. Joshua, even though he bears a name, is not a deliverer. The deliverer is a prophet ruler, a prophet judge, a prophet redeemer, and as we'll see later, a prophet priest, a prophet king. Look at 38. Let's take 38 together, everyone. Let's go. This is he that was where? In the church in the wilderness. So, the church are the people that he rescued. Come on. Come on. So the word church is an Exodus word. It's a word from the Exodus. It's a word from deliverance. It's a word. So when in Matthew 16, Jesus says to them, who do men say that I am? Some say you are John the Baptist. Others say you are Jeremiah, Elijah. Others say you are Jeremiah, one of the prophets. So say, guys, okay, who do you say that I am? The Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. Pay attention now. Pay attention. Was Jeremiah Christ? Okay, you're not in the first service, but you should know the answer. I gave you short notes. Was Jeremiah cried? Was Jeremiah anointed? John the Baptist? Very good. Elijah? So when Peter said, no, you are the promised one. That is the fullness of all these guys. The son of the living God. Then Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, Matthew 16, turn there. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Therefore I say unto you, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Now we could go over that all over again, but it's not today. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus therefore makes a commitment of an exodus people. A people that will be delivered, saved from the new Pharaoh, sin and death, saved from the world, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever things you lose on earth shall be loosed. Jesus therefore stands in the office, or let's say Moses stood in his office, but both ways, in the office of Moses. He is being sent to Egypt, the world, sin and death. Come on now. To lead a people out. A congregation. A church. An ecclesia. We define that word. Ecclesia is two words. Ek, out. Then the word kaleo, to call out. So the church of Christ is an exodus people. We are therefore called, I said at the first service, to fulfill what the exodus that generation did not fulfill. We will therefore know the plan of God for His church by reading the plan in the Old Testament. See carefully now. So we said, the church therefore, right, is called not to replace Israel, but to expand the work. To fulfill. Why did I say that in the first service? I said, well, the church replaced Israel. Because Israel failed. People say that oftentimes. The churches do not succeed. I said, no. You forget John 4. Jesus said it. John 4:22. Salvation, soteria, is the Jews. The Savior is from Israel. Then I don't just stop there. The apostles of the Lamb who laid the foundation of the church are Israel. The apostle to the Gentiles, the first apostle, was from Israel. Oh, but a remnant, yeah. So what's going on now? God is expanding the work. Amen? That's what He's doing. He hasn't replaced Israel. He has simply expanded Israel to mean more than a child of Abraham by biological terms. Expanded the meaning to be a child of Abraham by faith in God's faithfulness. Let me see how you follow what I'm saying here. So we know the story of the church by reading the story of the Exodus people. The Exodus nation is a church. Or the church. Don't forget what we're studying. The church in service. So like the story of Jesus can be read in the story of the Christ. The story of the church can also be read in the story of the church. So these words are not coined words, they are not created words, they are words in the epistles that are derived from the usages between Genesis to Malachi. Do you understand that? Come on, do you understand that? Come on, talk to me. Do you understand that? Very good. Now, let's go to Exodus and see something. Upon the Exodus, we see something very primary. As it came out, Exodus 18. Look at this. Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, came to visit. And in verse 8. I already start from it. Yeah, good. Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh, to the Egyptians, for Israel's sake, and all the trouble that had come upon them by the way, how the Lord had delivered them. That's what saved. Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. So Jethro said, oh, blessed be the Lord, who had delivered you out of the land of Egypt, and out of the land of Pharaoh, who had delivered the people from under the hands of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in this thing, and the thing wherein he dealt the proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrificed to God, and I told you before, burnt sacrifice was not for sins. I told you that primary. Don't forget that. And Aaron and came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. Came to pass the next day, that's the next day, tomorrow, that Moses sat to judge the people. Now, and the people stood by Moses from when? Morning till evening. Have you seen Jesus do this? Huh? Jesus do this too? Did Paul do this? Come on, pay attention. And Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people. He said, what is this thing that you do to the people? Why sits thyself alone and all people stand by thee from morning? Now, there's nothing wrong in what he's doing. That means the Exodus, listen now, the Exodus people are to be engaged in the ministry of the word morning till when? Evening. Morning till evening. Watch this now. Then Moses said, well, because the people have come to know God. They've come to know God. So I'm teaching, that's what to judge. I'm teaching them. When they have a matter also, they come to me and I judge between one another. I make them to know the things of God and His laws. Now, don't forget there was no Ten Commandments here. His statutes and His laws. Then Moses' father-in-law said to him, hey, the thing that you do is not good. That will surely wear away both you and the people that is with you. This thing is too heavy for you. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Now, this is not for today, but I just mentioned this. I'll probably teach this tomorrow. I told you last week, when we were doing the teaching of salvation, that even though God is a sufficient being, He never acts alone. Remember that? Never does. Never does. God made all of us deficient by nature. I gave you an example. And I'm going to go over this next week because I want to lay the doctrinal foundation before we go into the practices now. Because I'm going to talk about the church in service. I've not gotten to the subject at all. I'm just giving you foundation. Now, you know, I said it on Sunday. I said it in a meeting. I was preaching at a conference just this week. That look at the singular act of creation. It doesn't take anything for God to make all of us one single gender. Then you have the sperm and the egg in one single person. Anytime you need a child, you remove the sperm from your nose, the egg from your ears. Put them together. Boom. Bum picking. It doesn't do that. It made us all deficient. So that we will be complementing one another. He puts in you what someone needs. He puts in someone what you need. He puts the egg in someone else. He puts the sperm in someone else. So no one can be alone in procreation. And that's how He has made us. I say it like Brother Hagin does. The body of Christ is deficient, right? Deficient in creation and only sufficient in association. It's in association that we are sufficient. God made Himself, as it were, even though He wasn't, vulnerable to walking with man. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. We have done that study before, image and likeness. Particularly image, selem in the Hebrew, means a corporate status. God binds Himself with man to walk through man. It's always been like that. So what Moses is doing here, Jethro says, this is not good. Even God, who is all sufficient, hasn't done this. So he said to him in verse 19, Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel. God shall be with you. Be thou for the people to God. What? That may bring their causes to God. That thou, let's take 20 together slowly. Thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and show them the way wherein they must walk, and the walk. Look at this. Can you see the church? Can you see? Now, is Moses teaching them career? Huh? No. The law, the ordinances, how they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, watch this now, thou wilt provide out of all the people able men, such that fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and what? And what? Place them over to be what? Now, is Moses a ruler? Go on. Ruler of thousands? Uh-huh. Ruler of hundreds? Rulers of fifties? Rulers of tens? 22. And let them judge the people at all seasons. It shall be that every great master they shall bring to headquarters. Is that it? Huh? Call it mother church. Come on. Good. But every small matter they shall judge. Cell meeting. I'm not trying to say you guys don't do it. So it shall be easier for thyself and they shall bear the burden with the people. So in verse 25, Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, of fifties, and rulers of tens. Notice they did not use age. Now, before now, they had what you call elders. They had elders, those who were, you know, the elders, older. Exodus 3:16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together. Elders, Exodus 4:29, elders of children. But did you notice that Jethro didn't say he should choose the elders? Even though they were elders. But as we're going to see later, these people were now called the elders. They were not elders because of age, but elders because of something else. Now pay attention here. Which means the church, listen carefully, look up now, the church constitutes of people, all of us, then the church is also organized. Can you see? The church has organization. It's not just an association of brethren. In the brethrenship associationship, we have those who rule over co-brethren. You know, that's something you get careful of these days. When you have people, you know, you say, well, no, the church is not a place. It's you. You are the church. That was a grammar problem. We are the church. The church is, you know, we are co-believers, co-fellowshipping into confusion. Now you see these people, he said, able men. Now they wouldn't choose age because that would be totally, totally funny. Extremely ridiculous. The Bible, the book of Genesis, has the story of the grace of God. Cain was the first. Older than Abel. Abel was used by God. Then we can go on. Isaac, not Ishmael. Jacob, not Esau. Joseph, not Reuben. That's a pattern that's clear enough that God's election has nothing to do with age or natural qualifications. Are you there? Are you following this? So you have the elders. Turn quickly to Numbers. Numbers 11. Again, Moses has a task to do. And God says, I know you can bear them alone. Numbers 11:16. He says, and the Lord said to Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders. The word elders there is, listen now, again, it cannot be age, is the word Rab. R-A-B. R-A-B. Rab. You see it used in Genesis 28:23. Now, there's an adjective to it just for word study. It's the word Zaken. Z-A-Q-E-N. It's an adjective. It simply means old. Exodus 3:16 and 18. The one we read earlier. Exodus 3:16 and 18. The elders before Moses chose people in Exodus 18. Exodus 12:21. Referring to older people. Zaken. Exodus 17. Verse 5 and 6. But the elders he chose in Numbers 11 is not age. It's the one, the word Rab. R-A-B. Great. More. It's for more. Now, more what? Obviously, more spiritually speaking. More insight, more wisdom, more in growth. So the word elder here is not age. Leviticus 24 and 14. Pay attention now. Leviticus 24 and 15 actually. No. Just forget that. I'm not seeing the text well. I'm not sure. Wait. I'll get it back for you. I can't see it again. Anyway, the question here is, there's a distinction between elder as touching age. Alright? And those who were present. But when Jethro said, he said those who are able, one, who fear God, two, who hate covetousness, three. You can put that as spiritual growth. Is that clear? Come on. Now, so experience is only important where experience is useful. So a man can be around for long, but he's not fit. Why? He says he must be able. So, which means elder is an office, not just mere experience. Elder is functional. It's a function in the nation of Israel. We had elder age, seen that? But that wasn't the issue. Is elder functional? Able, fear God, not covetous, that may be over the people, which means they are already examples to the people. So it's now to make that functional example a definite office. What is the responsibility of these people? They will rule. I want you to listen very well. They will rule. Now, last week I told you about the codified language. You remember codified language? The word church is also a codified language. The moment you hear church, what should come to your mind? Exodus. Huh? Come on. Saved people, right? Come on. Okay? When you hear church, definite leaders. Huh? Definite leaders. Authority. Come on. Church. Gathering. Meetings. So all these things must be found before it is called a church. And Exodus, leadership, order, meetings, teaching, doctrine, practice. That is what is called church. So go back to Exodus. Are you learning something? Exodus again. Exodus 18. Look at the first in 21. Place them over men, them, and be rulers. Then 22, they shall judge the people. This is the office of what you can call a shepherd. The word to rule there is functional with a shepherd, to lead and to guide. Now, quickly, run to Matthew 9. I mean, not on your feet. Matthew 9. So where do we get those who lead? They are amongst the brethren, but they are exemplary, right? Come on. Okay. That means you don't start being an example when you have given responsibility. You are given responsibility because you are what? An example. That's the church. Now Matthew 9, here's Jesus. Now, who is supposed to choose the man? The Spirit? Who did he choose it? Which means God delegates the choice of who he will use to the men he has chosen. Hallelujah. Now, if I Numbers 11, it says, those that you know. Those that you know. And they will stand with you. That's how we said it. Now look at it. Matthew 9. Now, verse 36, after Jesus healed the sick and, you know, cleansed lepers. 36. Let's take it together. Matthew 9, 36. Let's go. When he saw. Everybody come. Let's go. I'll take it again. Let's go. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep without shepherd. Now, that phrase by Matthew. Now, let's go to 37 together. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest is what? The laborers are? So who are the laborers? Shepherds. Come on. Pray, Lord, the harvest is sent for laborers into his harvest. Now listen carefully now. This phrase, sheep without shepherd, is an Old Testament word. It is a codified word. Which means it requires explanation. When Jesus was arrested, okay, good, Matthew 26 and 31, and that word shepherd here is the word poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N, P-O-I-M-E-N. Remember I gave you background information that what Moses did to Israel, listen now, and what the elders he chose did to Israel, they were shepherds. Now the word shepherd, poimen in the Greek, P-O-I-M-E-N, is the word pastor. It's the word pastor. Matthew 26 and 31. Verse 31. All you shall be offended because of me tonight. Look at this now. Let's take it together now. Pay attention. Matthew 26, 31. Are you there? Let's go. Then said Jesus to them, all you shall be offended because of me tonight. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd. No, no. That's the word pastor. And then, the sheep of the shall be scattered abroad. Now, which means that a good way to scatter a congregation is to have the people offended with the shepherd. He said that. I said, you'll be offended with me, and then I will smite the shepherd, and then they'll scatter the sheep. The word shepherd there is pastor. In Matthew 25, 32, Matthew 25, 32. So please, remove the meaning. I know I'm your pastor, but remove that thinking you have a pastor from your head first. I'll put it back later. Let's use Bible one first. Then we can use modern terms. Okay? Matthew 25, 32. And before him shall all gather all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides sheep, as a pastor divides sheep from goats. So the first thing we saw about a shepherd, Matthew 9, he will go after, is a laborer that brings the harvest. Two, see here, he will separate sheep from the goats. You see the same thing here in Mark 6:34. Mark 6:34. And Luke 14:27. Luke 14:27. And that's similar to what we read. It has to be Mark 14:27. Mark 14:27. Okay. Now, literally, you have the word used in Luke 2:15, 18, and 20. While shepherds walk their flock by night or city. Then in John 10:2, John 10:2. He that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. John 10:11. I am the good shepherd, and give the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's Jesus. John 10:12. He's not the shepherd of the island. John 10:14. John 10:16. That word is pastor. Is that very clear? So the people Jesus sent out to go and preach, are they his pastors? Huh? So they go to reach the unreached. Good. They separate sheep from the goat. Good. Then you read Ephesians 4:11. It gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Poimeno didaskalios. Poimeno kai didaskalios. Shepherds, or put it like this, shepherding teachers, or teaching shepherds. Hebrews 13:20. Don't forget, Jesus said, the harvest needs what? Laborers. Who are? Now, the harvest refers to the scattered people. Right? The lost. So it says, what the lost needs is what? Laborers who are shepherds. Let me see how we are following this. Come on. Very good. So, Hebrews 13. So those of you say, I don't think God has called me to be a pastor. You will know how sinful that statement is in a moment. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace, that born again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that what? That what? So to see, say you don't want to be a shepherd, I don't want to be like Jesus. That's what you mean. I don't want to be a pastor. Is I don't want to be like Jesus. 1 Peter 2:25. For you were, look at this now, let's take from 24, who is own self, bore, in fact, let's start from 21. For even thereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should what? Now pay attention. So Christ is our example, right? Now go on. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. 24. Who is also bore our sins in his own body on the cross, on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Let's take 25 together. You were sheep gone astray, are now returned to the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. The shepherd. Poimen. Bishop, episcopos, pastor and bishop. Today someone says, that guy is not a bishop, he's a pastor. That guy is not a pastor, he's a bishop. Now, let me say this so that I don't sound like I'm hard. I told you, I'm less combative these days. So that, you know, everybody can hear us well. So everybody say, what is that to say? He's saying my bishop is wrong. Relax, please. Just listen to me. Just listen. You see, pastor is bishop. Bishop is pastor. Why do they use two words? You see, because the Bible is primarily Jewish material from the Old Testament, what they were agrarian in thinking. Agrarian is, they thought in agriculture, land, farm. That's obvious in the Old Testament. Right? Now, by the time of Jesus, they were more cosmopolitan. Now, the Jewish live more in community of families. Oikea, oikos, they live together. So, They lived like a sheepfold. So that was the best description to describe those who ruled over them. But you see, the Greeks were more cosmopolitan, arranged cities. Arranged cities. So they used the word episkopos, E-P-I-S-K-O-P-O-S, episkopos, which is the word bishop. Both words are not spiritual words. Episkopos means somebody who has oversight. And it was used in a cosmopolitan way. Now, when you come to that Greco-Roman world, if you use shepherd, they may even feel insulted. This guy is your shepherd. You say, in Jesus' name, I'm not a shepherd. I'm not a sheep. Ah. You see a man like he's a sheep. God punish you. The same way today, when we say headsman, you say, ah! Say, an headsman is coming, you say, in Jesus' name. But headsman is the word pastor. No, no, don't call me headsman, but I'm not saying. See how you laughed. Because in your own world, it might look funny. So that is why when they go to the Greco-Roman community, they use the word bishop. Is that very clear? So it's the same thing. Now, remember I said in Matthew 9, as sheep without shepherd, Matthew was referring to the Old Testament. Numbers 27. Are you learning something? Alright, good. I'll start from 16. Let the Lord, the God of the spirit of the flesh, set what? Run there quickly. We have many texts to read. Are you there? Are you there now? Remember, Jesus is the new Moses. Huh? The church is an Exodus people. Come on. Aha. The people who came out of exile, the people who came out of the world, who came out of the flesh, who came out of sin and darkness. So good. So we are learning the church from the church. Is that very clear? Now watch this now. Numbers 27:16. Let's take it together. Let the God, Lord, the God of all spirits of flesh, set what? A man over the congregation. What's going on? Moses, you see carefully now, is no longer taking them. So he wants to bring someone else in the picture. Let him set a man over his congregation. Look at verse 17. Let's go. Which may, before them, go in before them. Which may lead them out. Which may bring them in. That the congregation of the Lord be not as without. So you can't have church without pastor. The way you can't have sheep without shepherd, you can't have church without pastor. So the other elders that we saw spoke about earlier, they are what you can call assisting the... Do you get it? They are also shepherd, but in an assistant role. Now that's for another time. We'll take it as we go further. 1 Kings 20:17. So the church is called sheep. Can you see it? Can you see it? The leader, a leader in the church, in any capacity, is called shepherd. So anyone who is over people in the body of Christ, who feeds them, is called shepherd. Some of you change your shirt a while. So I have been a pastor all along. Thank you, pastor, for this insight. 1 Kings 22. Learning something? Yeah. Verse 17. I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep having not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. So you can see, a critical aspect of church is leadership. These have no master. Zechariah 10:2. Interestingly, I didn't even know that the focus on this week's Saints Committee and you is exactly what I'm teaching. I didn't know. I just saw this one. Zechariah 10:2. Like some people say, the Spirit is one. Zechariah 10 and verse 2. Are you in church? Learning something? Watch this now. For the idols have spoken vanity, the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in their vain. Therefore, they went out of the way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no... So the issue of shepherd was so important in the scripture. One who leads and one who feeds. In Genesis 48 verse 15, pay attention, you see God himself was referred to by Jacob as a shepherd. A shepherd is 16, a messenger. The reason is, they were agrarian in thinking. The very first man, who is called chosen of God, was also the same, a shepherd. Abel was a shepherd. Genesis 4 verse 2, a keeper of sheep. Genesis 29 verse 7, verse 9. Genesis 29 verse 30. So 27 verse 9, then verse 30, verse 31, 36, and 36, yeah? Then Genesis 36 verse 24. So the whole of Genesis, you're going to see shepherd. Abraham himself was a shepherd. So that was why that word has consistently been used. Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So that's the very office of God, or the office of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 28 and verse 9. Save thy people and bless them, the inheritance, and feed them also. The word feed there is the word shepherd them. Psalm 78, verse 71. Let's take 70 to 72. Let's go. Psalm 78, verse 70. Let's read it together. He chose David. I'll wait for you. Let's go. He chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. So the first thing is, listen now. The shepherd is also sheep. From the sheepfold. Let's go on. From following the ease, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. 72. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Psalm 80 verse 1. Come on. Let's read this loud together. Shepherd of Israel. Thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwells where the cherubim shall. So God is called the shepherd of Israel. Isaiah chapter 40. So to not to want to pastor is that you don't want to follow God. Come on. Are you here? Are you following this? To not want to is you don't want to follow God. Isaiah 40 verse 11. I'll start from 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and he walks before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, gather the lambs with his arm. God is called shepherd. Jeremiah 23, verse 2 and 4. Check that later. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31 and verse 10. The Lord hath redeemed. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, declare the house afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth a flock. So when we go out to reach the lost, are we doing the work of a shepherd? Thank you. Verse 12, Jeremiah 43, I will kindle a fire the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives, and he shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd puts on his garment. He shall go from ends in peace. Now, then just write this down. We're going to study this later. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. So one prominent term for leadership and responsibility amongst God's people is that of a shepherd. Ezekiel 34. Where he spoke against the shepherds. Verse 5, there was no shepherd. Verse 7, he spoke against the shepherds. Now look at this. In verse 11, thus saith the Lord, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that is among his sheep, that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered, the cloudy and dark day. Look at 13, the Exodus. I will bring them out from the people, guard them from the countries. I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. Then it says, there shall be neither lie in a good fold, and a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith God. So is God a shepherd? Yeah. So which means the responsibility of Moses was that of a shepherd? Huh? Come on. Joshua? So the people he chose in Exodus 18, was that responsibility that of a shepherd? Exodus 18? Numbers 11? Yes. So who is the shepherd? The one who is in charge of God's people. By example, don't forget, by precept, by example, and by authority. Which means God commits the care of his people to his people. He commits the care of the church to the church. It's therefore ridiculous to say that Jesus is the pastor of your church. Well, he's the pastor of the body of Christ. And the way we know that is through the men that he places over other believers. So like I said earlier, the elder is the one who is mature in age. Huh? Who is mature spiritually. Right? Who is growing in the word. Who is an example. Alright? So it's not just in church. You know, we have some people that are in church, they've been in church for a long time. You know? They are not the shepherds. They are not the ones we are looking up to. No. So the church is built, right, on such structure, such orderliness. So that's why every believer, Paul will say, he that desires the office of a what? Bishop. Now, that is meant for every believer. Right? Come on. Hey, come on. Should every believer desire the office of a shepherd? Uh-huh. But is it the office or the function? The example. The responsibility. Is he sitting in front or being in front? No, you can sit in front and you are the bad egg. Is he sitting in front or being in front? Being the leader of the people. Numbers 11:16. Whom you know to be the elders of the people. Say, choose elders. Whom you know. That's important. I tell pastors. I'll talk about this next week. You don't pray to know who to put in a position. You open your eyes. Now, when you have more than one person for one position, that's when you pray. They knew who was going to replace Judah. They knew the qualification. It's not the guy who sent you a text, I can't be in church tomorrow. He's in and out. Does not miss meetings. Has his own challenges and troubles, but does not give an excuse. From the Baptism of John to the day he was taken away. Don't forget that Jesus chose 12. They were just from guys who were all hanging around. They didn't go anywhere. Imagine somebody meeting the qualification of the apostles without being one. Which means that responsibility, right, is already something that we can find in you already. So when you put somebody in a position who has not been responsible, the person, it's his pride that will enter his heart. Because it's not something that he is doing. So when you ask him, we have to do this, he will think you are forcing him. After all, my friend is a pastor there. We party every Friday. Here, the elder is the shepherd. The role of spiritual maturity in the congregation is such that you now begin to lead others. So we can have those who are able to handle 10. Can you see it? 50, 100, thousands. Are you learning something? We're looking at the church in service. Which means the church, right, is defined by service. We'll break that more into detail. So let's look at Acts 20. So is it clear that the bishop is the elder? Huh? Acts 20. I don't want to be a pastor. It's as good as saying I'm an irresponsible Christian. I don't want to pastor. No. I just want to sit in the back, at the back. And that's, I know. No, I'm talking to you. I don't want to sit at the back. I don't want anybody to know me. That means you are a DSS. Secret Service Believer. Acts 20. Now, don't forget, verse 17, Paul came to Ephesus, Acts 19, verse 2. He met these disciples. He assumed they were saved. He got them saved, Acts 19, 15. He got them filled with the Holy Ghost, Acts 19, verse 6. The Holy Ghost came on them. Then they were 12, Acts 19, 7. Then he taught them daily for 2 years, every day. Look at that. Look at the training, every day. Is that like Moses? Come on. Every day. So Paul left Ephesus, then he came back. When he came back, look at verse 17. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. The elders of the church. Now, if you read further, it's the same 12 folks, or at least them with others, that he met in Acts 19. So elders of the church here, is it age or maturity? That means they've been around long enough. In this instance, a few years. He taught them, if you look at Acts 20 and verse 31. He said, I taught you for the space of 3 years. People that you taught 3 years every day. Talk about just 2 services in the week. You come for 1.5. 1.5. 2 services. Probably the only service you come for is this service. Just this one. And even this one. You are here and there. So you know, my crusade is personal. I can see. It's personal to me and my God. To me and my God. You are worshiping an idol. There is no God that is personal to you. Avicii. The God you are talking about is the God of the Bible. It's not personal to you. There is nothing he will tell you that we don't know. So please, don't use that one. Move. Don't use that. Do you understand? The elders, we know them. Look at 28. Acts 20. Are you learning something? Take heed to yourselves. Now look at, verse 19. He said, I have been with you, verse 18, all seasons, serving the Lord with all the humility of mind, tears, temptations, and then 20. I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, and showed you, and I have taught you publicly, and from house to house. Look at 28. Take it therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock. Can you see it? Can you see it? Same word, right? To all the flock. Which means that these folks were very involved in evangelism. Huh? Come on. Discipleship, of course. To all the flock, pay attention, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Overseer is the word bishop, episcopos. To feed the church. That's the word pastor, poimano. To feed the church. So, this means, look at the pattern. From getting born again, right? We hear the word. And one of the proof of maturity is responsibility. Spiritual maturity is not how long you have spent in the faith. It's how much of the faith you are available for. Look at Acts 15. If you read the book of Acts, you will see the apostles. I'll start. Let's run through Acts 15. Follow this pattern very well. Acts 15. Right, good. When the apostles came back, he numbered them. Acts 1. Go back to Acts 1. My mind is moving fast. I apologize. Acts 1, verse 2. Jesus chose the apostles. Acts 1, verse 14. The apostles continued to pray and supplicate. Acts 1:15, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. They were 120. Acts 1:26, 12 apostles. Acts 2:14, Peter stood up with 11. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Acts 2:42. Acts 6, number of disciples, verse 1, number of disciples had increased, and then they came to the 12, Acts 6:2. Now what did the 12 do? The 12 said, look among yourself, verse 3, honest, men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. Same as Exodus 18. And we are praying about this business. So these people were associate pastors. Not deacons, that somebody that doesn't preach the word of God. And then he has a big belly. No. Deacon here, which we call deacon, is associated to the pastor. That's why the fruit of it is that we saw Stephen, Acts 6:8, preach the word. Philip, Acts 8:5 and 6, preach the word. So now, we have apostles and those who assist them, and the brethren. Pay attention. Acts 11. Acts 11, verse 19, people went about preaching, verse 20, then you know, Acts 11, verse 29, a prophet from Jerusalem, so we have prophets, we have Agabus, then Acts 13, prophets and teachers, verse 1, Acts 13 verse 1. Acts 14, 23. When they had ordained them elders in every church. They ordained, they put elders in position of authority. Those who are elders, those who are exemplary, they now ordain them. So you don't ordain to be an elder, you only ordain an elder. That means you give him a definite role and responsibility. Acts 15. Follow this pattern very well. Acts 15, 2, the B part, the apostles and elders about the question. Acts 15, 6, apostles and elders. Have you noticed that they don't use brethren anymore again? Right? Apostles and what? Elders. Now pay attention here. Acts 15, verse 22. Now when they had resolved the issue, I said, okay, let's send a message back to the Gentiles. He said, then it pleased the apostles and who? Pay attention. And the whole church, which means the church consists of leaders and members. And the whole church. To send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, son named Barsabas, and Silas. What does he call them? Chief amongst. Now, the word chief there means leader. Egoimai. H-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. Chief. Acts 14, 12. Chief speaker. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. Those who are over you in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Hebrews 13. And verse 7. Who have the rule over you? Hebrews 13, 17. Who have the rule over you? Hebrews 13, 24. Salute all them that have the rule over you. So can we have church without rulership? No, we can't. Jesus himself is called sheep. Isaiah 53, verse 7. Acts 8, 32. And he's also called the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5:5. So which means those who occupy positions in the church are meant to be elders, spiritually mature people within the congregation. So the moment I pursue spiritual growth, I am pursuing responsibility. And the moment I pursue responsibility, I take the place of a shepherd. So which means, a local church is a place where sheep, which we are in Christ, is mature to becoming shepherds. So put this down. The church, the local church, is a pastor's training ministry. A church that does not train people to pastor is not following the mandate. The local church, let me see if I'm following what I'm saying here, is a pastor's training ministry, amongst other things. Men are exited from the world. They come out of the world. Then we begin to show them the work of ministry. And then we raise them to occupy the positions of men and women over others. Be blessed. Thanks for feeding me.